You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
Toolkit Podcast is where your favorite filmmakers come to talk about their craft and process.
I don't want a sloppy angle in my movie ever.
It's like being a dancer. You find the freedom in the structure.
It's where Tarantino, Gerwig, Scorsese, and Jordan Peele discuss their latest films, and showrunners take us behind the scenes of the best of TV.
Hosted by IndieWire's craft team, Toolkit is an award-winning podcast that gets at the heart of what really matters for filmmakers, like Spike Lee.
It comes back to this storytelling. What can I use in my toolbox?
We have a very, very special guest for this episode, none other than the great Laura Ingraham. You know Laura Ingraham from the Ingraham Angle on Fox News, always speaking the truth, fearless, independent-minded, which I deeply respect. I love people like that. I love people like her. So I got to tell you, it's an honor to have her as a guest on the show. You know her from TV. She previously was a nationally syndicated radio show, The Laura Ingraham Show. And also before her media days, she worked as a speechwriter in the Reagan administration in the late 1980s. You know, she went on to get her law degree. She worked as a judicial clerk in the Second Court of Appeals in New York, then for the United States Supreme Court for Justice Clarence Thomas. So she's lived an interesting life, obviously accomplished a great deal, but I think most importantly, she's fearless and she's brave. I originally wanted to have her on to talk about life and to talk about some of that, you know, really interesting work experience she had and how she got into media and all those sorts of things. And then the FBI decided to raid Trump, right? And the country got turned upside down and my plans got turned upside down for the things I wanted to discuss. So now we're going to talk about that, the impact it has on the country. We'll get into other things too, but, you know, primarily just sort of talk about the direction this nation is heading in. So I hope you enjoy this conversation. I know it's an honor for me. Big fan of Laura Ingraham. I'm sure you are too. So here she is, Laura Ingraham. So we've got a big show today, a big week, obviously a lot happening in the country. The great Laura Ingraham is joining us. You know, Laura, I originally wanted to talk about life because you're a badass and I admire and respect you. But then the FBI raided Trump. So, you know, now we're here, Laura, and it feels like the country is forever changed and we have uncertain times ahead.
I think, Lisa, we have arrived at the proverbial Rubicon, and you know, if people know their history, that wasn't good. People think, "Oh, we're at the Rubicon. It's a new frontier." No. This, I think, does so much to undermine what Americans need to believe about their government, namely that the government exists to make their lives better. It doesn't exist to turn them into enemies. It doesn't exist to vanquish political opponents. It actually is supposed to work for us. And if we begin to lose faith in our law enforcement and our federal investigative services, to the extent that I think so many people are losing it now, you know, to quote Newt Gingrich on the Ingraham angle this week, he said, "We're at the precipice." I mean, it's not an exaggeration to say we're at the precipice now, because we know already, Lisa, that these forces on the left don't like the Constitution. They're not interested in the framers. They think the framers were a bunch of racists. And everything about America that has kind of held us together for 250 years, they think is inherently corrupt. And so they don't care if people don't believe the FBI is operating in good faith. They don't care if people think the Justice Department is essentially the Praetorian Guard for a failing administration. They don't care about any of that because they think the system itself is fatally flawed. They would much prefer, and I say they, sort of, the elites who have helped build up China all these years and let our military deteriorate over all these years, they would far prefer America to be run under a global understanding where all the big decisions are made elsewhere by people we don't vote for and by people who don't really have much respect for what the American experiment was really all about. So it doesn't surprise me that they would go this low and degrade our system to the extent that they are, because the people who are really pulling the levers of power now, they don't like our system. They think it's corrupt, and they think it itself needs to be smashed and reformed and remade into something that's much less accountable to the people who they believe are also corrupt and racist. So I think that's really the conundrum that we're facing, is a ruling class that has no respect for our foundational documents or our entire framework of existence and liberty for the people and securing liberty for the people. They don't like that. And that kind of system gave us Donald Trump in 2016 and, you know, has propelled Ron DeSantis to embarrass all these other governors who kept their states closed. So I think Americans overwhelmingly want things to get better. I think they overwhelmingly want things to go back to, quote, normal, the new normal that we see playing out since the pandemic. You know, we all now see the truth about that. I mean, some of us saw it early on, but, you know, that's all right. Better later than never. But people want to return to normalcy of a government they can, they don't necessarily will trust, but they think is not purely existing to make their lives miserable. And I think that's what we're going to see play out in these election cycles coming up.
And how does a nation survive in the environment that you laid out when you have half of the country, the people on the left, undermining our institutions, not believing in our institutions, you know, not believing in the documents that created this nation and created the framework for the nation? Yeah, how does a nation survive in that environment?
Well, I think the only way we can, the only way we've ever gotten through every incredibly difficult situation, whether it was the Great Depression or civil rights struggle or, you know, the Civil War. We have to, as a people, decide that we aren't going to tolerate a certain type of leader, that we're going to encourage and support those leaders who actually respect the people. And I think you see signs of that happening. I think there are too many conservatives out there, and not just conservatives, but other people who say, oh, we're going to hell in a handbasket. There's no turning back. It's all lost. All hope is lost. I mean, nobody wants to follow that mindset. Reagan came in 1980 in an environment that was so broken for America. I mean, we had our embassy held hostage. We had Iran erupting. We had the Soviet Union still threatening us. We had a massive economic disaster on our hands. And we had a complete decline in patriotism and a lack of respect for our military. I mean, across the board in 1979 and 1978, 79, going into 1980, America was in a huge mess. We had terrible crime. Cities were a mess. And we had someone to say, no, it's going to be morning in America. We don't have to live this way. So I believe this comes from the people, and that finally people get fed up and they propel someone like Reagan. But remember, Reagan lost in 1976. He lost the nomination in 76, not by a lot, but he began to put together his framework all the way back in 1964 when the really all hope was lost for the conservative movement. Talk about depressing back in 64. And so we have to understand that things didn't get screwed up overnight, and they're not going to get fixed overnight. This is going to take an enormous amount of work. But I think it's possible. I mean, I just think there's so many amazing young leaders out there, from whether it's Josh Hawley or Tom Cotton or DeSantis, obviously people like Kristi Noem and, you know, all the great political leadership we've seen in Texas with Greg Abbott. So I think there's a lot of hope. And I think we're seeing this kind of begin to bubble up in the younger people winning these primaries. You know, some of them won't win, some of them will win, but these are people who are, you know, these are Hispanics, these are African Americans, these are moms, young business people who've just decided, you know something, I'm not going to sit on the sidelines, I'm going to get involved. And I think that's surprising the Democrats right now. I think that's shocking them, of how Republicans have really thrown off the cloak of the old establishment that failed us for decades, and have begun to really embrace this more populist conservatism that, you know, that Trump smartly grabbed onto and rode all the way to the presidency in 2016. So I think there's a lot of hope, but it's going to take a lot of work.
Well, you, of course, were a speechwriter during the Reagan administration. But to your point, I believe that's why they're cracking down, because you are sort of seeing this uprising, really not just in the United States, but around the world, the people standing up to their government saying this is enough. COVID really accelerated the rise of authoritarianism in the West. And I think it's opened some eyes. I was interested to see, Laura, I'm sure you of Andrew Cuomo, the guy who killed elderly people, then covered it up, saying that, whoa, 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 this is a bridge too far. It must be more than a search for inconsequential archives, or it'll be viewed as a political tactic. So even seeing someone like him, as corrupt as he is, saying that this is corrupt.
Yeah, I think that Democrats who've kind of been around politics for a long time should be very careful about what they're saying about this search warrant. I mean, I saw Chuck Schumer didn't say anything. He didn't want to get dragged into it. Bernie Sanders didn't say anything. Now, maybe that's just a political tactic. I don't know. But I got to say, I mean, to drop a warrant on a former president of the United States and a guy who's probably going to be the party's nominee in 2024, man, you better have like espionage or something like that. That's just something, speaking of norms that they supposedly are so worried about protecting, that is something we do not do. We do not do that as a country. And they decided to go there. I think, Lisa, you're right. They're very worried about Trump winning again, because I kind of joke and I say Trump comes back is going to be no more Mr. Nice Guy. I mean, I kind of joke about that, but because he now has, he's learned, I would think that he's learned that you have to have great staff, which I think he actually did have at the end. He might not agree with that, but I actually think he really did have good staff, especially at the end. You have to have great staff and you have to hit the ground running, because the swamp will eat you up. And this lionizing of the military leadership, which he did, and I talked about this a lot this week, the lionizing of the generals, just because someone's called a general doesn't mean that this is someone who you have to think is right on every single issue. In fact, these generals have been brought up through the ranks of political correctness and diversity, equity, inclusion, and most of them are just worried about the defense contractor board that they're going to land on in 5 years. So Trump, I think, has had his eyes opened about the truth of the bureaucracy, the truth about the Pentagon, the failures there for decades and decades. We haven't won a war outright. Why is that? Why don't we ever ask for accountability on that? And so I think Trump wins this time, Lisa, and he's not going to talk about draining the swamp. He's going to drain the swamp. You talk about terrifying for them. Yeah, that's going to be terrifying. So I think they pulled out all the stops, because aviator sunglasses man ain't going to beat him next time.
Well, yeah, he rolled the curtain back on how corrupt and broken our government truly is. I think it opened a lot of eyes. He opened my eyes for sure, really changed my thinking on a lot of things politically. But ultimately, isn't this about the criminalization of free speech and wrongthink?
Oh, yeah. I think this is one big intimidation play. And I think the way they handled January 6th, I said it, I think, the first week after the riot at the Capitol, that this was going to be used as a way to surveil, justification for more surveillance, monitoring, intimidation. You saw what Justice Department did with this domestic terror unit and expanding what actually qualifies as domestic terror. So I think they want Americans to think twice before they show up at a rally, or before they post online, or before they open up a Christian school, before they go to a gun safety class. I mean, I honestly think their goal here is to make the average American compliant and worried, and with good reason. I mean, When you're trying to criminalize parents at school board meetings, and call that and tackle a father whose daughter was raped in a bathroom, I mean, as you saw in that Loudoun County video that I think changed the whole course of the gubernatorial race in Virginia, I mean, this is Gestapo stuff. This is stuff that, you know, when I lived in the Soviet Union when I was a student back at Dartmouth, I mean, I saw that stuff in the Soviet Union. We were scared about who we talked to when we were there, because we knew we were being watched. And without getting too conspiratorial, I mean, how much farther down the road do we have to get before we approach that territory?
I mean, I'm pretty fully convinced that we're probably all monitored to some degree, to be perfectly honest. But, I mean, it's just if we're being honest about it, they're probably tracking us. But, where are Republicans like Mitch McConnell?
I think he truly is stunned that the party has already left him. I honestly think he really can't believe that the party is not his party anymore. Doesn't matter if he's called Senate Majority Leader. The people aren't with him. And I think it took him a while to grudgingly admit it, obviously in the aftermath of this raid on Trump. I think he was thinking Trump was finished. Trump was murmuring about coming back, but come on, wait, that's not going to happen. Donald Trump, I mean, the old guard knows what's best for the people on trade and immigration and government spending. And I think he was truly shocked when, after he was outmaneuvered on that climate change bill, that the reaction to the Trump raid was unify the party around the guy who has the America First agenda, not around the guy who's allowed government to grow and who has never met a defense authorization that he doesn't like, which is Mitch McConnell. So I think he truly was shocked about that, and he was shamed into coming out and making the most flaccid of statements about this raid. About, we expect the Justice Department has to be very transparent about this. Well, yeah, no kidding. No kidding, they have to be transparent about it. But it took him, you know, a full 24 hours to make any statement. He was shamed into making that statement about the raid. But again, it was a weak statement. So I think he's shocked. I think it's unlikely that they're going to win the Senate, at least if the races were held today, the Republicans shockingly might not win the Senate back. But if they did win the Senate back, Mitch McConnell's, you know, position as majority leader isn't a sure thing. That's for sure.
Speaking of that, what impact do you think this has on the electorate heading into the midterms?
Well, the raid, I think, unifies the party. I think it has the danger of also stoking Democrat turnout, because Trump's out there again and maybe he'll announce he's running for president again. And the concern is that they hate him so much that, you know, their people were going to turn out en masse as well. But I'm not sure. I mean, I'm really torn on, and I don't know if I'll have a great answer to this, Lisa, because it's a tricky situation given how precarious people's personal budgets are right now. I mean, most people are digging into their savings at the middle income levels because their salaries aren't keeping up with inflation. I mean, somehow today they crowed about how, inflation's only 8.5%. They're celebrating that.
Well, what were they celebrating? Yeah. Like pennies off of gas prices? And everyone's paying double, yeah. But it's so, like, you saved 20 cents or whatever.
Yeah, it's a great point. So I think that the media will continue to try to resuscitate Biden's performance. Look, he's got these wins, and climate change, and we got the chip bill. But celebrating wins on their own, because bills were passed, that doesn't translate into a better life for the average American. So we'll see how this all plays out. I tend to believe that it's going to make energy more expensive, and imports of various component parts of solar panels, everything more prevalent. I don't think it's going to do much to certainly raise the standard of living of the average American. So I think their celebration or their attempt to burnish the Biden record or turn around his momentum, I think that's premature, but that's kind of all they have is spin. I don't think it necessarily means that people in November are going to say, I want more of this. This has been fun. This has been great. Like, let's go out and vote for that guy when they, you know, we haven't even talked about the border, but I think the immigration is under-polled as a concern for people. But I think when the school year starts, we're going to have a lot more concerned parents out there.
Well, it is hilarious that you've got people like Eric Adams, you've got Democrats who are saying, diversity is our strength, you know, let them come in, we need to take all of them. And then the second buses start showing up to New York City, they're like, this is going to overwhelm our schools, overwhelm our healthcare. And it's like, as Republicans, we're like, we've been saying this, like, that's the whole point. Welcome to the club.
I think you're right. And I think people conflate Trump with people's overall sense of happiness in the country. I mean, Donald Trump's been a friend of mine for 25 years, and I'm always very open about this on my show. But, you know, we'll see whether that's what the country wants. I mean, would the country country, I think, is so exhausted. They're exhausted by the battle, the constant battle, that they may believe that, well, maybe it's time to turn the page if we can get someone who has all Trump's policies, who's not Trump. Right. So the other concern, though, and I don't have a position on this one way or another, but the other problem is that it's really not about Trump. Right. This is about the views that Trump now brought to the fore for the Republican Party. They don't like his views. They don't like the fact that he called out the military for their failures, that he wanted us to pull out of Iraq and Afghanistan, that he wanted to treat China and our trade relationship with China in a much different way than the globalists preferred. And they certainly didn't like the fact that he sent all those illegal immigrants back to Mexico that remain in Mexico. I mean, they think borders are immoral. They think owning big SUVs is immoral. They think eating too much beef is immoral. Having air conditioning is immoral. These people think that the American way of life is immoral. And it doesn't really matter in the end whether it's Trump making the populist conservative points or whether it's DeSantis or someone like him. They're going to come full bore against any Republican, even an establishment one. They saw what they did to Romney. Romney was a caricature of Thurston Howell III by the time they got done with him back in 2012. So yeah, Trump is a placeholder right now for the ire and fury of the left, but anyone who steps into that breach is going to find the same pain being thrust at him or her.
Quick commercial break. Back with the great Laura Ingraham on the other side. We talked a little bit about the economic climate right now in the country. My viewpoint is they want Americans impoverished, right? The whole point of the green agenda is to push people to more government control. The poorer people are, the less they have, the more reliant upon the federal government they are.
Well, I think the more people are reliant on the federal government, the less freedom they ultimately have to change their own destiny. And I think the left prefers things like lockdowns, because then people can't move and pollute the planet. They don't think for themselves. The government tells them when they can travel, when they can go to church, when they can, go to the store. The left loves making decisions for the people. They don't want the people to have the power. And that's why the lockdowns were so damaging to our national psyche, to our way of life, to the way people think about life. When you see people walking around in 2 and 3 masks still, you know this has had a profound effect on the American people. And it's terrifying. Thank God we had these red state governors who basically, flipped the bird to the feds and to the blue states and said, "We're not staying closed. Are you kidding me?" I mean, it's, thank God we had the red states. Otherwise, I don't know where our economy would be today.
I mean, I moved down to Florida for that reason of leaving New York, wanting freedom.
So smart of you.
I love it, Laura. I mean, it's like life has just been so great here. I don't miss New York at all, to be honest. It's been lovely.
No, New York's sadly one of the great cities has turned into a crime-ridden hellhole. It's gone back. So New York has gone back to what it was in the 80s and 70s. And after Giuliani wrote, they cleaned it up. Now it's going back. And rents are still high. Everything's still expensive. And, the left got their way because now a lot of people have moved out. And so the subway ridership is down 30%. Meaning what? Meaning more the public structures that they love so much are crumbling. So when you don't have money when you don't have people going into the city to work, then the cities start to decay. So that's the flip side of there. Oh, isn't it great? Remote work. Everyone's at home. No one's going in the office. Okay, well, let's see what the cities are looking like in 5 years. Let's see how they look.
Do you think Americans are now connecting the dots and the correlation, as you mentioned, you know, the bigger the centralized government, the bigger the government, the more problems we have, the worse off we are as citizens. Do you think people are finally drawing, you know, that correlation after COVID?
I think more are, and it's going to take a continued effort to educate, entertain, and inspire the voters to seal that message. And again, people forget that Reagan campaigned in all 50 states. I believe it was almost all 50 states. And he finished up his campaign in 1980. I believe it was in the Bronx. So he went everywhere. It was a different world, obviously, and we didn't have social media and all the everything that we have now. But I maintain that this populist movement has to be a 50-state movement. There's no reason that we should have 12, you know, Democrats in New England in the U.S. Senate. Even if sometimes they're called Republicans, they act like Democrats. There's no reason for that. I mean, these are great states. I grew up in Connecticut. It's a beautiful state. So it's not going to happen overnight. I'll say that again, but I really believe that our motto should be no state left behind, no city left behind. You know, we love this country. We love every aspect of the country, and we refuse to give up on St. Louis, on Chicago, on Oakland, on Hartford. We're not going to give up on you. The left has given up on you. They use you. We're not going to do that for you. Here's a better way. And I think the more we sell that message and be unafraid. It's easy to say, but we really have to be unafraid. Oh, they're going to protest you. Of course they're going to protest. They're going to hate you. Of course they're going to hate you. They're going to call you a racist. Absolutely, we'll call you a racist. Now what? So that's how I think we have to approach all this.
And I think that's the point. I mean, Republicans just need to stop looking for a pat on the head from the liberal media. Understand that we're all going to be smeared. We're going to be labeled. We all have. But, you know, I do think part of the path forward is through the states. I mean, we've got 23 GOP states with trifecta government. If every governor in those states bucked up in the way that Governor DeSantis has, the federal government wouldn't have as much of an impact on their lives.
Yeah, I mean, most governance happens at the state level and the local level. That's why I think you're seeing more people run for school board and more people are getting involved than I've ever seen from a wide, you know, range of American society. And I think that's good. But we do have to remember the states is where most of it happens. And we can't just throw up our hands and say, oh, California is lost forever. No, it isn't. Not lost forever. Look at what they've done to California. You think people want to live that way? I don't think so. But they do have a party machine that churns out votes every 2 years. And we have to build back our machine there. We used to have a party machine there. Where is it? So I think if people believe that immigrants came to this country just to live at the poverty line, I don't think you're really understanding politics too well. I think people, for the most part, I'm not talking about the drug dealers and the human traffickers, but most immigrants who've come here to this country in the last 20 years, they came here because they want a better life. And in the life that they're consigned to with just, you know, the minimum that the government will provide you in the quote safety net, that's not much. And I think we say it's time to stop demonizing rich people and start telling everyone if you work hard, you can be rich too and free.
And I think that's, I mean, look, I want to be rich. I'd love to be rich, but I want everyone else to be rich too. You know, the left wants to be rich and then drag everyone else down and make it impossible for them to also get ahead. You know, Laura, is there anything, you know, it really does feel like this upcoming midterm election is sort of a make or break moment for the country. But is there anything else you'd like to leave us with before we go?
I think all of us in times that seem, you know, so turbulent and everything seems like it's operating on a knife's edge. I do think, and this sounds like cliche, I know, but everybody has to take the time to just be with their friends and their family without a political moment, you know, without politics tinging every aspect of our conversation. Life goes by really fast, really, really fast. So everybody, to the extent that you can take, even if it's an afternoon or an hour, take time away from devices and screens and really be together and pray regularly. If you're a believer, pray. I mean, sometimes we say we are believers, that we don't really listen to what God's telling us. And I'm guilty of that. So I'm really speaking to myself here, but step away from the chaos of life and take those moments to really count your blessings and be grateful for everything that we have in this country and all those who sacrificed for us. And then you can, you know, pick yourself back up and, you know, get back to work, whatever your work is, do a great job and really try to love each other a lot more. And it's not easy when you really dislike someone. I always tell my kids, when someone, you know, fights with them or says something, I said, pray for them. It's easy to like the people who are good to you. It's hard to pray for the people who are not so good to you. So I guess that's my sappy way to close out.
Well, and that means we're praying for a lot of people right now.
Hey, you bet. It's a big list, Lisa. Very big list.
It's a long list, Laura, so we got a lot of work to do.
Exactly.
Laura Ingraham, it's an honor. I really respect you. I respect your voice, and it's just an honor to have you on the show. So thank you so much for taking the time.
Congrats on the podcast. Can't wait to come back and come on TV soon.
Love it, Laura. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
We'll talk to you soon, Lisa. Bye-bye.
Isn't that cool? I've always been a huge fan of Laura Ingraham. I love people who are independently minded, who fight for what they believe, who are strong in their opinions, and that's Laura. So very cool for her to join the show. It truly was an honor to have her on. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you're enjoying the show. If you do, please leave us a review on Apple. You know, give us 5 stars, rate us, leave us a review. We always appreciate the feedback. It's just helpful to know what you think. I also want to thank my executive producer, John Cassio, for always working hard to put the show together every Monday, every Thursday. But you can also listen throughout the week, The Truth with Lisa Booth.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hello there. I'm Ann Thompson, editor-at-large for IndieWire.
And I'm IndieWire's deputy film editor, Ryan Latanzio.
And we're the co-hosts of IndieWire's weekly Screen Talk podcast.
Join us each week for an in-depth discussion of the latest in film and TV industry news with special guests along the way, including filmmakers and executives.
Hear from us every Friday morning on iHeart platforms or wherever you get your podcasts as IndieWire shares what we've learned from the movie week that was.
This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive, with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.